Good evening, I'm David Atkinson and I own the UK's, but the only speciality meatball bar and restaurant. But in 1997, having recently retired as an engineering officer in the Royal Air Force, I was working as an employed management consultant in Brussels on an assignment with the European Air Traffic Control Agency called Eurocontrol. And at that point in my life, I was keen to study management beyond an MBA, but my employer at the time, Admiral Management Services, I don't know, computing people around might have heard about them, but sorry. they weren't really interested in my career. They were just interested on how much the contract I was on was worth. The thing is, I was a little bit intelligent. I also knew how much the contract was worth. And there was no one around that could replace me. Nobody had the sort of background in radar that I had at that time. And I decided to leave. But I did give them plenty of opportunity to hire me as an independent consultant. And I started my first company, a consultancy called Aegis Mark Limited. And that was probably, I think that was about 1999, 2000. Now then, as an independent management consultant, I was able to take a proportion of my contract fees and invest them in going back to university. And at the time, only one university course stood out for me, and it was Lancaster's Master of Philosophy in Critical Management. I think that course has sadly disappeared from the curriculum here. I looked no further, and as the ink dried on my company incorporation documents and my first contract, I applied to LUMS. But from management consultant to meatball restaurant is a windy road. My first company moved from consultancy to a specialist recruitment franchise in risk management and financial services. Basically, I became a marriage broker for insurance brokers, a niche mergers and acquisitions boutique serving the commercial insurance industry. To achieve that, I had to withdraw from a 7-page, 30-page legal contract binding me to 7 years' service with the franchisor. That was a one-year battle, during which time I didn't really do much business, but my staff did. By 2005, though, being successful in coming out of a franchise, on the back of successfully moving something like £90 million worth of gross written commercial insurance premium between my clients, I thought I'm in the wrong game here. If I'd have bought all that business myself, I would have controlled one of the UK's largest insurance brokers without knowing a thing about insurance. So I brought a business partner on board and set about launching a new insurance broker acquisition vehicle with the aim of buying some of these quality businesses I knew about or I could persuade them to sell. And things were looking good. And although I'd taken a break from my studies between, I think it was about 2001, September 2003, I did go back. And by December 2006, I graduated from LUMS with a PhD, winning a couple of awards for it on the way as well. But as I say, the life of an entrepreneur is not an easy one, but we all know what happened in 2007, 2008. The wheel fell off the economic wagon. And I went into the office one morning in August 2008, and my business partner turned around to me and said, "David, I've had a terrible weekend. I've had a lot of phone calls with the members of the board. We want you out." They threw me out of the company I had founded, and I didn't have a leg to stand on, and they held back £30,000 of my money until I'd agreed to leave. I couldn't take them to court because there was hardly any money in the company. I would have won. They would have closed the company, put it into administration and walked away. So all I could do was pack up my desk and walk out. And I left with nothing except a mortgage, and typical of many entrepreneurs who've invested anything in their business, a lot of credit cards to the hilt. I think about £40,000 on credit card debt. So what then? Well, it's not an advert. I published a novel about a man who gets thrown out of his company. But it's not really autobiographical, as the novel does deal with death and the financial crime. And at least to the best of my knowledge, perhaps mine was just a case of being one too many mouths on the board that required feeding. And I was the easiest target, knowing nothing about the insurance business. I was interviewed on the Radio 4 programme about the difficulties of finding employment when one is over 50 years old and an ex-CEO. A kind soul of an entrepreneur heard the radio show and he called the BBC, who then got in touch with me and inquired about whether I'd be the sort of engineer, I was an ex-engineer, to take on the running of his steel foundry in the north of England. I wasn't, But as an IT engineer, I did get a short contract to help him with his digital media presence. Then, before the 2012 Olympics, I spent almost a year as a director of development for a privately funded higher education college in London's East End, working for another entrepreneur. That doesn't work. We didn't see eye to eye, and I watched him make some, particularly to my mind, unwise investments. I think he blew about £5 million of his investors' money, but there we go. I did collect a couple of interesting experiences for my next novel. Together with a member of the House of Lords, I attended an audience and lunch with a wealthy Arab sheikh in his palace in the United Emirates. I spent a rather bizarre evening drinking gin and tonic on the front lawn of the British Embassy in Tripoli with a load of arms dealers months before the fall of General Gaddafi. Or Colonel, is it? Or whatever. I've also been effectively unemployed for some time, developed a sideline as a screenwriter and budding film producer. Yeah, I too wanted to sort out the British film industry at one point. I'm still working on it. And I'm working with a small team of like-minded friends at the moment on a portfolio of low-budget productions. We hope to start filming sometime next year. I won't bore you with the details of the legal battle in taking my ex-partners to court. But as an entrepreneur, starting and running business is the name of the game. And I reached an agreement with my ex-partners that gave me just enough money to start a new one. So the flash of meatball inspiration I gained while watching a Freeview Food Channel one evening in March 2012 became a reality as I managed to find a way to finance it. No one in the UK is doing meatballs. The future is meatballs. Everything is round and you have to love puns. I texted my digital media expert son. I'd financed his upbringing. I'd seen him into university, and he was now working for a living. He was working for a new media agency in the South, and I floated the idea past him. I think he was sitting in a pub with colleagues at the time. They'd just had a successful client meeting, and I floated the idea past him. It was like some other texted, emailed, phoned ideas I've given him over the years, but that one actually got listened to. And within 3 days, we had a draft logo designed, and the rest, as I say, is a bit of history. So now, as I say, I stand the extremely proud owner of the UK's first meatball restaurant, the Yorkshire Meatball Company. We bought a cafe in December last year, and it was a cafe that was losing more money than I thought it was losing. So I lost even more money. But it was a nice unit, and that's why I bought it. And in February 14th, Valentine's Day, we closed the doors after lunch, and 2 weeks to completely refit the restaurant, put brown paper up on the windows, did it all, project manager, I'm an engineer at the end of the day, gave myself a hernia, for which I had to go to the hospital in the middle of the year to have repaired. But on the 1st of March, we opened as the Yorkshire Meatball Company. And since that time, we've served over 15,000 diners, 45,000 meatballs. It's a lot of rolling. They're all handmade. And that's not including the dessert balls. We've got a loyalty scheme, the Ministry of Meaty Balls, and we've got over 1,500 registered members, active, using their cards, collecting points, coming in and spending them. It's a shame when they do that because they don't quite so much cash through the till, but okay. And we've got a Facebook fan page, around 2,000 followers. The average restaurant in Harrogate has got much less than that. Other restaurants with that sort of following have been around for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. We've been open since the 1st of March. And those fans include people from around 23 countries speaking about 16 different languages, apparently, according to the stats. We've been nominated for a host of awards. We won the Harrogate Hospitality and Tourism Newcomer of the Year Award for 2014 after a nomination received in the first 4 weeks of opening. Last month, we were the Yorkshire Regional winner in a National Business Startup competition, and we are finalists in another Business Startup Awards later this month, in fact, next week. The thing I'm most proud of is the fact that I've been able to achieve all of this with the help of one of my own sons. Cue a bit of emotion. I don't do that often. This is the first year of a 5-year business plan for the Yorkshire Meatball Company, and yes, I do business plans. And yes, I'm afraid they're about 36 pages long. But it's my, and I'll interject a comment there on business plans. It's a process, it's a journey. I'm a writer, so I tend to write a track record of that journey. And that's what my business plans are, the thoughts that I've gone through in deciding what I'm going to do. They all go through iterations. It's never constant. I issue one. If you want a business plan, I'll update it. I'll issue another one. There's a financial model in it that's so complicated, I think I could give any Microsoft Excel course instructor a lesson. But there we go. I think they're important, and I've always had them. I've got every single business plan I've ever written in all its versions on my laptop. If I lose my laptop, I'm screwed. I do have a backup. So, yes, the first year of 5 years business plan. Harrogate is the first restaurant. We've plans for other additional units and franchises. We're also in discussions with potential joint venture partners to introduce a range of premium meatballs into the retail supermarkets over the coming year. The meatball market is worth something like £6.7 million in the UK. Penetration into the average UK household is about 24% compared with sausages, which is about 75%. A lot of headroom for growth in meatballs. So, if I took my time over again from Merchant Navy Cadet, I didn't do that one at the beginning, but I was in the Merchant Navy first, then Royal Air Force Engineer Officer to entrepreneur, now restaurateur. My destination has never been certain. However, I believe my values and priorities have remained consistent. It's a strong work ethic, a desire to achieve more, an intense dislike of the 100 or so reasons I hear every day about why someone shouldn't do something, and a champion of the one reason to do so. And that combined with an understanding of and a willingness to embrace risk. I wrote an award-winning PhD, which in one sentence probably translates to my management and leadership philosophy. Sometimes, in the face of complexity and uncertainty, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do something. Would I do anything differently if I went back in time? One of the most difficult aspects of anyone's working life is people. Successes and failures, including my own, all involve other people at some level. Despite many issues, I believe in the people around me. I trust them. It's my way. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but for that one reason, I would probably have done the similar things and met similar issues. I certainly don't think there's anything that might have been transformational to help me on my entrepreneurial road. Change is occurring all the time. It must be embraced by managers and entrepreneurs alike. For it's only when change, I believe, is embraced can we leverage it to the point that change itself becomes transformational. Ultimately, my PhD theme of it doesn't matter what you do as long as you do something is a mantra I'd offer any entrepreneur. It is my art of management and leadership. Alongside that is recruit a good team around you, trust them and test them to the limit.
Any questions
there? Where are your meatballs? Harrogate. Soon to be in a supermarket near you, with a bit of luck.
Right, okay. You've been speaking to Edwin Booth?
No, we're going bigger than that.
Oh, right, okay.
He's a small supermarket.
He is, but he's nice and local.
Yeah. I have a question. By reading Twitter stories, like, another setback was, you know, the founders of the startup and stuff when Twitter was a startup. So how did you deal with the setback in your...
Well, being thrown out of my company.
In your own company.
Yeah, I know, it did rankle a bit. Well, as I said, I wrote a book. I'd always wonder, I wrote a PhD thesis. I'd written 120,000 words over 3 years, part-time. And I thought, no one's going to read this. I did actually publish it as a book as well. Palgrave Macmillan picked it up. And within a month of graduating, I had a contract to produce the book. So there is an academic book version of it, £60, but I wouldn't bother buying it unless you've got a wonky coffee table. It's a dry read. It's philosophy. There's a few facts and figures. There's a lot of it about art in it, because it's about the art of management. But I'd written this, and I thought, not many people are going to read this, and I like writing. I'm a writer. That's why I've got notes. It's a lot easier for me than speaking. But I thought I'd sit... I want to write. I've got an opportunity now. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Do something. I wrote. And I wrote this novel in 4 weeks. I published it myself. No one was going to publish it, so I set up a publishing company. I produced it to the same standard any publisher. If you go on, I don't know if anyone's interested in writing and has ever thought about it, but there's a lot of what they would call glamour press, or I forget, and self-publishing system. If you look at any of their product and put it on a bookshelf in Waterstones, like that, it will look different. It won't look like any other book in Waterstones. It'll either be slightly bigger, slightly wider. You pick it up, it's heavier, because the paper's higher quality, because they're trying to sell you a good quality product. Printers producing books for bookshops print on the cheapest quality paper they can get, because the margins are so ridiculously small. So I actually got it wrong, that's too high quality, but I was closer than anybody else. And Waterstones said, yes, we'll take that book, because it would sit on their shelves with anybody else. Trouble is, I'd have to go around each individual, although I got it through Waterstone's wholesale process, I'd have to go around each individual Waterstone shop and persuade the manager to take the book. But when I published that, unfortunately, that's when I ended up having that job in London, and the foot came off my marketing pedal. It's not gone anywhere. But the second one's in publication, in the process of being written. And there's a film version that's available. Yeah. Well, I need a DOP.
I know somebody I can recommend.
Okay, thanks. I'll give you my card.
Very nice. This is under our very nice.
You've got to keep your eyes open all the time. If you're an entrepreneur, look out. The one thing I was very conscious of setting my business, even when I launched my consultancy as a what they call a personal service company, in effect, I was working for me, I was on contracts, I was doing the work, I was getting paid so I could take all the money. But you don't have a business unless you can walk away from that business and it still carries on. That's my definition of a business. If you want to sell that, if you want to build value, you've got to be able to step out of that. Well, I'm here tonight, but my restaurant's working happily. I hope it is anyway, but no, I trust my staff. I've got my son who's working. I think even my son's taken the night off tonight. We've got a good team. They're doing a good job. They know what they're doing. The customers are happy. And I can go away and I can do what I like doing, which is hopefully I'll get my film made now.
Set up a film production company.
Well, no, I do have a name for it. It's Blunt Nib Media, I think.